Service Radio.
Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
the tin whistle or whatever.
I think it's a piccolo.
That's presidential.
I'm loving it. And welcome to the Sun Cinema Podcast, weekly radio program brought to you, just to examine the highs and lows of the art of filmmaking. It might be a stretch this week to say the art of filmmaking, considering some of our topics, but... we're coming to you live from the amazing Lion Hotel and the Full Service Radio station, or Full Service Radio Network. And guys,
is it a station or a network, Jack?
Do you say Full Service Radio? Period.
Yeah, I guess
Full Service.
It's,
radio.
It's a network, though.
Okay,
for all intents.
What's
purposes.
The number?
The call-in number?
No, the number on the
FM dial.
Nope. Yeah. Nothing.
Awesome. Well, hey.
So yesterday was President's Day, or recently was President's Day? Well, what are we at? What are we doing?
Yesterday was President's Day.
It's a three-day weekend.
Yeah, so it's rightfully so that you should be a little off kilter.
Also, that royalty-free Hail to the Chief was definitely not Hail to the Chief. I don't know what that was.
I loved it, though. It was amazing.
I actually prefer that version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I walk into a room.
The alternate
take. That was a karaoke version of Hail to the Chief.
Well, I am your host, Jason Cawley. I'm here with my two co-hosts, Ryan Hunter Mitchell and David Cabrera. Gentlemen, how you doing?
We're here.
David
didn't want to come today. He was like, I have a bunch of shit to do. I don't care about president movies.
It's 72 degrees outside.
I didn't
outside.
See Black Panther. And I was like, I think that was the only thing that got David out. I was like, it's really nice outside. Yeah. Just walk over
come
here.
Come outside, Dave.
So he's here.
Do the 3-block walk.
He's throwing some coffee in his face.
We'll get him through.
So yeah, thanks for getting here. Hey, all right. This is the part we actually needed you.
Oh.
How was last week?
Last week was good. I'm glad also that we talked about winter movies last week.
Yeah.
Because it's Groundhog Day. Groundhog's a fucking liar.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so we're free. We're warm now. Everyone's warm.
Yeah, it's surprisingly not getting like 72 degrees in Washington, D.C. this week. It's insane.
Yeah, we're seriously grilling tomorrow at work. We already planned it. It's supposed to be 77.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, so how are the movies last week?
Last week was great. I would say the highlights were the Tuesday night we did a night of shorts and documentaries and interviews about the Black Panthers.
Which you said was a great night.
Yeah, there was a ton of people. It was great. There was a white man who sent an email complaining about how crowded it was.
Oh, really?
Which is great.
Yeah.
Sorry it was so crowded on the free night.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he learned something.
Well,
hopefully we all did.
He couldn't see the screen.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy.
So,
well, it's on YouTube or whatever.
We gave him his money back.
well, how was Valentine's Day? You did.
It was good.
How was Moonlight for Valentine's Day?
I mean,
did
sweet.
You cry? Did you cry?
Did I cry? I think I teared up.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's hard not to. I'm not being facetious. It's like it's a killer of a movie.
Yeah, I got real kind of quiet after and everyone left.
Yeah,
immediately.
I sort of say that's not one that's riddled with banter after the viewing, you know?
Not at all.
Not like, hey, get another round up here, Dave, at the bar.
Oh, actually, there were two... we talked for a while, actually. There's some folks that stayed and talked. I think we talked about other things, too. Just to lighten it up.
Okay, not just true love.
Not just... Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful movie, though.
Yeah, for Valentine's Day, too. It's like, oh, yeah, it seems like a good one. It's cute. On top of all the like trial and tribulations of the main character throughout the movie,
there's like genuine tender moments, and
I think by the end it's like the sweetest
movie,
and it's super vulnerable,
very vulnerable.
And then your pathetic Valentine's Day—it's never going to hold up to to everything that surpasses in that movie. So anyways, good luck, guys.
Right. And Friday on Friday?
Friday on Friday was very good. Holds up. It's pretty funny. You know, that was an anomaly of a night, too. There was only, like, 15 people there.
That's so crazy.
I could not figure it out. And then, like, Crooklyn and Killer of Sheep were, like, sold out and people emailing me and, like,
trying to get extra tickets. Yeah, how was Killer of Sheep? Because I still haven't crossed it off my list.
I haven't.
We talked
either.
About doing this.
And I was supposed to be there. I feel bad. We had, like, all kinds of crap going on at the house, and I wasn't able to get up to see it.
Well, first I want to talk about Crooklyn, because Crooklyn kind of caught me by surprise. I had not seen Crooklyn.
Oh, yeah. No, I told you last week. It's kind of a deep cut, you know?
Yeah, but it's like the movie that... How would I say this? It's a very good family movie,
right,
in a way. It's like the movie that Tyler Perry wishes he was making.
No, I agree. It is.
And so there was a very interesting thing in that so it mostly takes place in Brooklyn. It's, you know, autobiographical about Spike Lee's growing up, more or less. I'm not sure the...
Made it in 94.
Yeah, I'm not sure where... what's true and what's...
Yeah, I think it's just based on some of the...
Yeah, it's kind of like Game of Thrones. It's like based on real stuff.
Exactly.
Perfect. Good segue. So what was really interesting is watching the movie, there are parts where all of a sudden it's like, man, the aspect ratio is really fucked up. Everything looks really warped. It looks like you're watching something that's like panned on TV, like the faces are long and you know. And then I started to realize that it was only happening when they left New York and they went to their family's place in the South. And afterwards, someone else was mentioning it. They're like, what is wrong? And I was like, honestly, I just think it's like the DVD. Like, it's probably, you know. But then it was like, but why was only this one part? Anyways, long story short, Spike Lee did that on purpose.
Yeah, cool. to throw everything off, to
show what it would be like for like a black person to go to the South for the first time.
Yeah, I remember seeing that the first time.
I wish I had known that beforehand.
Yeah, no, because it would have been a great answer, right?
You know, pausing, fixing the projector.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was kind of like, back to like, oh man, people are going to be pissed.
Yeah, you said that, and now I remember hearing that as, you know, something that he had talked about at some point in
time.
And
we have a pretty small screen. I wonder what that looked like on an even bigger screen. Like,
probably so great.
Yeah.
Like, just completely disorienting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had a chance to see it on the big screen. It's always been, like, you know, DVD kind of thing.
But great soundtrack. It's just, like, one song after that. Just keeps going. Cool. It's like in the same vein as, like, Boogie Nights, where Boogie Nights just feels like a long music video where it just keeps...
50 songs.
Like, one song ends and the other one fades in. Uh-huh. And you're like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
Killer Sheep is good.
All right, so thanks for not spoiling.
I would say just watch it.
All right. Okay, so, what have we got? Oh, well, actually, since you did the Black Panther night last week, which I missed, which I would have liked to have been there for, but I did see the Black Panther movie.
Hell yeah.
And it was great, and I took the seat of a more deserving black person, I'm sure.
Where did you see it?
We went on opening night and a couple friends, and we're like I said before,
in DC, or
yeah, down in Georgetown,
LA, but
Georgetown. Okay. Yeah, okay, sure. I came back. I'm back in DC, and you know, we've gone to like a lot of these opening night of these movies.
Yeah,
and you know, afterwards we're kind of having this discussion about it, friends and I, just while we're getting out of the movie theater. And a couple friends were like mildly critical, and were like, you know what, I think we shouldn't even have been here tonight. We should have, like, our bad attitudes aren't necessary anywhere. I thought the movie was great, despite anyone trying to, you know, pick apart little aspects.
Is it great for a Marvel movie, or was it like just a great action kind of movie? That's where I always fall in this stuff.
Let's go, because Marvel movies kind of have their own par.
That's what I'm saying.
They're just big, dumb adventures, and they're pretty fun. I would say this was good in reference to those, because it like toned down the humor a bit, if you've seen any
like
of them.
Like versus an Iron Man or all that kind of stuff.
They're chock full of jokes, just like the new Star Wars and everything. And that's fine. This like held back, which I liked a bit more. To be honest, I was impressed not just for Disney Studios, but for just a big motion picture. But definitely anything coming out of Disney that would even touch interesting politics. And I, mm-hmm. and I kind of felt this did for like a big action movie. It's it essentially Black Panther, played by Chadwick Boseman, is T'Challa, the king of the secretive kingdom of Wakanda. But in like the comics, and hopefully in this, it's not just that they're secretive, they're also very anti-intervention. So it really brings up the topics of military intervention or any intervention. Mm. And they spend time confronting it through like, is it colonialism? Should we be arming oppressed people? Is that a bad idea? Is it a good idea?
Oh, wow.
Isolationism. And it touches on it without answering, without describing which is bad or...
Yeah, touching on ideas of like special operations and things like that even.
Completely. Yeah. Like, not completely, but,
no, but
pretty well, especially coming from a Disney movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, it keeps on harkening it back to Oakland, which is like kind of a nod to Black Panther's... The political party out of Oakland. Right. Ryan Coogler, the director, also from there, which, you know, kind of ties into Fruitvale Station, the first, like, movie that I saw of his and the one that put him on the map. It's about the shooting of Oscar Grant III.
No, it's fantastic.
So he does tie in Oakland, brings it over to Africa. It really travels around the world, kind of becomes a cyberpunk movie at certain parts, going into, like, futurism and cyber hacking and cool architecture, but tying that all in with, like, references to African culture, African dance, African music, and it does that well. Kind of, I would say, it describes a better utopia than anything else. Right.
I was going to ask, like maybe this is a touchy subject given the year that we're in and everything that's going on. But was it a better representation, I guess, in subtext, toward the African American community and all of the some of the history that they've endured in this country, and how that view or how they look at the world, was that represented in a way that felt, you know, strong and natural and good and thoughtful?
Yeah, it really was, because even in the villain, you get Michael B. Jordan, Wallace from The Wire,
so
he's
good.
Proving to be a good actor. He's the bad guy, the villain, if you will. But, you know, they make a good case that he's arguably legitimate. Not to spoil too much, but he's kind of pushing for... He's addressing the ideas that there's people that are oppressed within the U.S., around the world, and Wakanda has this high technology, and they're not sharing it with oppressed people.
I see.
They're sitting nice. So he's coming at it with, like, a natural anger. And they're kind of understanding of it, and they give it some air.
There's a little.
I'm honestly impressed that like a superhero movie is even touching this.
Yeah,
because usually it's just like a big and still there's explosions and cool James Bond kind of technology, but it really does let some ideas of colonialism and oppression of people sit there in not a fake way. So yeah, I was completely impressed by it. And if you don't care about any of that stuff, you just want to see some cool martial arts and cool
some
shots.
Great effects.
Great for that too. Yeah. That's my Black Panther review.
That's a pretty resounding thumbs up.
Yeah. Great.
It actually makes me, I'm not like a big Marvel universe, DC universe, you know, movie goer. I see them as they come out on Blu-ray and stuff like that. But that actually makes me think this might be worth.
Yeah, you can watch it.
Theater experience, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's worth a theater because it's big. But even if you just caught it later, it's one that you could watch without having all the context of.
I was
going to
ask, do they do any kind of weird tie-ins to the Marvel universe?
I mean, they're there if you want them.
Okay.
You know, if you want to tie it into all the others, there's little hints at the ongoing plot, but you kind of can ignore all those.
Okay, so it's not too heavy-handed.
Nah.
All right. Hey.
And then what have we got this week?
What's coming up at Suns?
So tonight we're doing The Nine Lives of Marion Barry.
Oh.
It's a documentary about Marion Barry. That the director's point was that there's a lot more to the story of Marion Barry than
just the headlines?
Than just that. Well, yeah, the one particular headline also. Which, to be fair, like growing up, that was what I knew. And then I moved to
D.C.
And then I realized like he was like an icon and a local hero. So
yeah.
So that'll be good. Tomorrow night,
that's the doc for. It's a fundraiser, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about Thursday.
We don't know enough about tomorrow night's movie. Yeah.
Thursday's I'm Not Your Negro.
Yeah.
It's great.
James Baldwin documentary, yeah. Kind of about. It's about one of his pieces of literature. Neither of us know. None of us know. I saw the movie. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Samuel L. Jackson narrates it.
Narrates, yeah.
And he's good. You wouldn't even know it's him. Yeah. You know.
He doesn't go too Sam Jackson-y in it. Yeah.
No, he's real reserved. He just does a good job narrating it.
Not like
I saw that. I remember the same commercial. Day. Later that day, I saw Get Out.
Oh, wow.
I have to say, Get Out, I preferred, although I'm a huge fan of James Baldwin.
Yeah.
Get Out almost like addresses James Baldwin's kind of theory in the movie. His pitch is like, why do white people need to figure out why they need a Negro? Like, you guys got to figure this out. And then Get Out gives like this really horror kind of answer to that.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, watch both those movies in the same day.
Oh, that's an interesting double feature, actually, that you just happened upon. That's pretty cool. I like it. And then there's Black Dynamite, right? Is that this
Black
week?
Dynamite?
Ooh,
no.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it. Have you seen it?
Nope.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
funny? It looks funny.
It's terribly funny. Like, you got to get yourself in the right mindset and just kind of give yourself over to some sort of blaxploitation fun. I like... It's, you know, I'm the whitest guy at the beach, so I mean, take this with a grain of salt, listeners. But like, I enjoy blaxploitation films for what they are and what they were. And there's some really like killer stuff that came out of that, like Pam Grier's entire career.
Coffee. Sure, sure.
Coffee especially. Oh my God, so good. But Black Dynamite, I saw when it came out, and I didn't love it when I saw it the first time, and then I saw it again. Just, you know, a little different mindset and kind of took it at its face value, and it's a lot of fun. And I can imagine it being a lot of fun with a good crowd, you know, it's the kind of movie you want to see with a good crowd.
And a drink.
No, totally a drink. And whatever else you got on you, but definitely, definitely a fun movie.
So, Fail University on Saturday. Have we talked about Fail on here at all? Fail is a comedy show that we do at Suns, sunscinema.com. It's a comedy show that's...
It's a fake university.
It's a fake university with mock college lectures. It's run by two ladies, I think three now. I think Denise is on it as well.
Okay.
Anyways, long story short, they get up. There's a theme for the month. So this one is Black Atlantic Studies. They've done... right? They've done physics and psychology. I don't know. They've done a bunch of stuff.
American history. Do the arts.
Yeah. Each comedian gets up and does like a 10-minute presentation based on the theme. It's like a PowerPoint presentation.
A lecture.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's a great concept.
Yeah.
It's always a fun house.
When it hits, it really hits.
What's the runtime? Are they up for like an hour, hour and a half?
It's like an hour. It usually goes between an hour and an hour and a half.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a pretty good night of comedy.
Yeah. It's a good night.
Yeah. And then Sunday, we're doing this movie, Ashes and Embers. The director's name is Haile Gerima, I believe. And he is an Ethiopian gentleman who I believe is a professor at Howard or was a professor at Howard.
Oh, wow.
Howard. The movie is shot in D.C. There's some really cool shots of this guy like walking down the street near the Howard Theater, and it like zooms into the Howard Theater.
Killer.
That's awesome. It's one of those movies I've heard of, but yeah, I don't know the movie at all.
Yeah, so it's about a Vietnam vet who, black Vietnam vet who returns to the U.S. and is, you know, disillusioned by America.
The state of America. Yeah.
Yes. So it's First Blood. It's basically Rambo.
Yeah, it's Rambo.
So there's your double feature.
But yeah, then you got it from a local bookstore, right?
Yeah. So the distribution is actually, through Sankofa. It's a really rad, sort of radical black coffee shop.
Bookstore, video store
on Georgia Avenue, a little bit north of Howard. Very cool spot.
Yeah, cool
spot. I don't know. I feel like it's such a poser for never going there before, but...
You know, I've only gone... couple times, but then I was in there and I saw the DVD and I was like, that's funny, it's here. And then you're like, that's who we're getting it from.
Yeah. So I wonder if he started or I wonder what the
what his affiliation
with
is
the with bookstore. The, yeah, for some reason I want to say that he's like one of the founders or something.
Oh, but that I would believe it.
Yeah, but I could be wrong.
All right, so that's what we got coming this month. Let's.
That almost rounds out the month too. I mean, we're kind of last couple of days, right?
Yep, and then we'll start gearing up for next month.
It's gonna be fun.
All right, should we take a breather?
March.
Oh, yeah. Actually, we should. We're a little over time. Sorry, Jack.
Let's
take a break and be
talk
back
presidents.
With you in just a minute. Yeah, talk press.
Then, Dimitri, you know how we've always talked about the possibility of something going wrong with the bomb. The bomb, Dimitri. The hydrogen bomb. Well, now, what happened is one of our base commanders, he had a sort of, well, he went a little funny in the head. You know, just a little funny, and he went and did a silly thing. Well, I'll tell you what he did. He ordered his planes to attack your country. Well, let me finish, Dimitri. Well, listen, how do you think I feel about it?
And that was the incomparable Peter Sellers in 1965's Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, one of the longest titles of all time. Stanley Kubrick's classic, obviously. And my favorite president on the list as far as cinematic presidents.
Yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, that's fair to say. Okay, so we'll just do... We'll be like rating presidents other than Peter Sellers for this.
Sellers kind of sets the bar in my mind.
So welcome back to the Sun Cinema Podcast, and we're going to talk president movies because we're kind of shit out of things to talk about. So
that's President's Day.
It's President's
yesterday.
Day. Yeah. And there's a bunch of good President's movies.
It's our favorite
movies.
Holiday.
It's our favorite. There are a ton of presidential movies. It is.
There we go. I'm in the spirit.
Now you got it, Jack.
Fool me once, shame on you.
Okay, so I guess let's...
Fool me twice.
Shame. See, the fool me can't get fooled again.
Let's do president movies first before we do... president
quotes.
Before presidents.
There's like the standard list, right? I mean, you've got everything recently from like Lincoln, or even... I guess a little further back, like Frost Nixon.
Uh-huh.
But then there's like those standard, you know, Air Force One, I think, comes to mind.
Yeah, that's a movie about a president.
Yeah, and like a America's Badass President, you know?
I swear, when I was watching that movie when I was a kid, my parents, bless them, but they vote Republican. And like Bush had previously been president, Clinton was president, and we're watching this. And I was like, wait, a president can like hide an airplane and like
kick
someone's ass? And they're like, yeah, sometimes presidents are good men.
Yeah, like Ronald Reagan.
But not right now.
Not now.
I'm sorry this is so hard for your young mind to understand with President Clinton, but a real president could kick ass.
Yeah, Air Force One is like 97, right? So yeah, perfect timing. Yeah, where does he rate? Where does Harrison Ford Air Force One rate?
Ooh. Okay, so what's the scenario? If it's like the end of the world,
Yeah, I guess I so. I mean, right. He's a guy, especially like 97 Harrison Ford. You kind of...
I think they're doing an Air Force 2 that he's going to be in, and then his son's going to kill him in it, I think.
Oh, perfect. You had me for a second. I was like, oh, really?
Oh, damn. Yeah, Solo? Sorry. Isn't it called Solo? Well, whatever. Air Force Solo?
Speaking of, like the year... After Air Force One came Primary Colors.
Oh yeah, with
Travolta, and the amazing and beautiful Emma Thompson. Totally miscast in my mind, but yeah, I mean, obviously a hard play on the Clintons.
And, yeah, so I like when these movies come out and they kind of snub sitting presidents.
Yeah,
like W. Like Oliver Stone pushed out W before W left office.
Yeah, right? Of course. And it was one of those, W was one of those things too, where you're like, man, you know, if this could come out 10 years later, like if it had come out now, you'd be like, oh, I'm kind of in a place where I could maybe get behind the idea of this film, you know, as being a thing. And Brolin certainly like.
Oh, so good in it.
God, man, I mean, really, it gets overshadowed by the fact that it was just a bad timing, bad release. It's ultimately not a great film because it's so slanted with Stone.
Yeah, yeah, it's such
but
a...
But the performance awesome. From Brolin, who's playing, you know, at least 15 years older than he is the whole time with very little makeup, and he looks like Bush, and he certainly got him down.
I mean, well, like, the Texas guy...
Yeah,
he's got him down.
And he's got him down to a science and really gives like an amazing performance in an otherwise pretty flawed
Did he
movie.
Get to study with W for Will a while Ferrell. On that? Yeah, he got to study with
if Will. If there was ever a president that would be like, yeah, man, come on. It would be Bush. Yeah. He'd have been like, yeah,
even
man.
If it was a movie that was totally shitting on him, he's still...
Yeah, yeah. He would be the kind of guy. Like, he's one of those dudes where you're like, I'd have a beer with him. Well, it's probably pretty cool, you know?
I've heard he's like an avid mountain biker, and that like Secret nice. Service guys, like he just chumps up. Them. They can't keep up, and they're nice. Like, well, he's kind of a cool guy. He doesn't really talk politics. He just
well,
you know,
of
he
course
bikes.
He doesn't. Talk
yeah, he doesn't know shit about politics.
He's but more he can of a talk painter. Baseball.
Okay, so there's W. I think the obvious Dave with Kevin Klein. I think is an obvious triumph of cinema and presidential
and
politics.
Presidential politics.
It's the It's like a rom-com of a military coup, of a non-military coup of the presidency.
Yeah.
Like, the president... I'm going to give some spoilers because you had time. You could have seen Dave.
Yeah, it's been 25 years.
It's been 25 years. So the president gets in a coma, right? And they find the best impersonator, and they really brush him up. It's Kevin Klein plays both.
Right.
Completely convincingly. He seems like the president and...
Isn't
the
Kevin,
best impersonator.
And isn't Kevin Klein one of those guys like, I'll say this, and he's from my hometown, St. Louis, but he's one of those guys like saying Kevin Klein's in the movie doesn't get me to go see the movie. But every time I see Kevin Klein, I'm like, oh, fuck. He's amazing.
Great.
He's really strong.
Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, he won the Academy Award. But like he's one of those guys I'm never... like impressed by the fact that he's even the number two or three guy, you know, in the cast billing, let alone number one, if he's headlining a movie, like it doesn't get me to go see it. But anything I see with him, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Kevin Klein is amazing.
And like, he could be president.
And he could be president.
I mean, sure. Why not?
I actually met him.
Yeah. So you can attest he could be president.
He's one of those people who you're like, oh yeah, I get it. I get the charisma, you know, like he's pretty dynamic.
the shocking charisma of Kevin Klein.
Kevin Klein, man. Yeah. No, he really was.
So Dick, that's on my list.
Yeah.
Presidential movies.
Why did Dick make your list?
Because I believe he ends the Vietnam War because of the pot cookies that like Kirsten Dunst gives him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
That's enough of a reason. Mars Attacks.
Oh,
we were both,
Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, Jack Nicklaus, the golfer, or Jack Nicholson.
I honestly got
actor.
Those two mixed up all the time when I was a kid.
Oh, did you really?
Because I loved golf so much.
You're such an avid golfer. Yeah, Mars Attacks, man. I mean, it's not great. And I tried to pull a clip from it because Nicholson's got like a 3.5 minute monologue where he's pleading with these Martians.
It's like riffing on Bill Pullman, right?
Yeah, like totally. Like, but like this total Nicholson macho bravado, you know, sort of way that's amazing. And you just can't, like, condense it down to a 30-second clip. It's like, it's
you
got
handle the truth.
Right, it's got to run. It's like 4 minutes of Nicholson doing it, so we couldn't use it. But he is pretty amazing in that, which is kind of a disaster of a movie, by the way.
Has anyone seen Secret Honor?
Secret Honor.
It's a Robert Altman film. Ooh. About.
Oh yeah, no, and with oh come on, man, help me out.
Philip Baker Hall.
Philip Baker Hall. Yeah. Thank you.
I haven't seen it, but I'm kind of surprised that I haven't seen it because it's.
I'll be honest with you. I just found out this movie existed like maybe a year and a half ago from Filmstruck.
Oh, right.
And
Movie Club. We got to watch it.
Oh man, I'm down.
Yeah, because I love Altman.
Should we plan that out right now?
Yeah.
Let's. Hey, Jack, can you put it on? We don't have our calendar around.
can you make a note, Jack?
Can you just book us a room at the line?
Yes.
Why the fuck do I have a light bulb? Oh, we haven't talked about All the President's Men. It's okay. It's a snore.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite.
Nothing
movies,
to do
but
with
whatever.
Today.
And there's a lot of movies like that where it's the president's not really in the movie. Like no one's really playing, you know, Nixon in the movie. It's all surrounding Nixon's world and everything that was happening. But I mean, I put it on the high list of like political movies. It is definitely like a standard.
Yeah, what about, and then you don't need to read the book.
What about Fahrenheit 9/11?
Ooh. President, damn it.
Or
JFK is another one though, like
oh,
that,
yeah, JFK,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like JFK's not in this, but
yeah. But he know, is.
Or no one's really playing JFK in this. It's just all surrounding the aftermath of his death.
What about The Art of the Deal, the movie?
I just
found some list of like presidents' movies.
Is that one made?
Somehow it's listed.
It's on the list.
Yeah. I think Johnny Depp plays He Who Shall Not Be Named in that.
Oh it God. Is. Maybe he could play him in the live action movie they're gonna make about this presidency. Johnny Depp. Handsy Johnny Depp
can play. Well, he's done an impression.
He's done, right? I was gonna say there is like this YouTube thing, right? Where he plays Trump.
Yeah, I'm looking here. Let's see. Here's Johnny Depp as
Trump.
Let's hope it's good.
Nice. Wait, is this real?
Power, money.
No, that's Funny or Die.
Oh, okay.
That's the thing, though, right? Is it? Is that the Art of the Deal thing?
Yeah. Is this what we're looking for?
It is.
Okay. That's the one.
You're going to have to probably sift through.
Power, money, real estate, beautiful women, cat-eating aliens, high-quality brands.
That was Alf, by the way.
Thing with more brass is my balls.
In Donald Trump's made-for-TV movie, The Art of the Deal, the movie. Based on his best-selling book, The Art of the Deal, New Kid on the Block makes New York City his playground and the Big Apple skyline his toys. In the office, he was at his best, but by
all right,
night...
I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah.
I can't believe you brought that up.
But is this
Dave.
Johnny Depp in these, like...
It is 100% Johnny Depp, yeah.
Wow.
Like, it's amazing how much...
No, he would play him in a film.
He
that's
looks
really
like
good.
Him, yeah.
Are you sure it's not just an impersonator wearing a bunch of scarves?
Huge.
A bunch of skins.
Like, let's just get a speaking clip here. Do we have one of those?
The art of love. The art of struggle. The art...
Okay, it's just like screaming. Anyway.
Well,
sorry.
Okay.
There you
go. Yeah, so he could play Trump, I guess. I don't know.
Sorry. Took that way off the rails.
Bulworth? Okay, Bulworth. I'm going to bring it back to the rails.
Yeah.
Does he... I can't remember. Does he ever win? Does he win the presidency in Bulworth?
Yeah. I was about to start singing that.
Oh, man. I loved this movie.
I watched it a couple years ago. I think it pretty much held up. It's
That's
kind
what
of offensive.
Saying. It holds up.
But...
It's offensive in the ways that it still holds up.
But yeah, it's offensive because it's probably true. He's like basically saying... You know, politicians don't give a shit about poor people.
Right.
And they just pretend to and they pay lip service to them. I mean, it's a pretty progressive movie, really.
Oh, Beatty. Who doesn't love Warren Beatty?
Exactly. Is that the only time he's played a president?
I think so.
Okay. What is he in Dick Tracy?
He's Dick Tracy.
Okay. Let's just talk movies from our childhood after we get back. Let's take another break.
Yeah.
Let's
get out of here.
Let's go to Superstar, talk about some childhood trauma, and then call it a day.
Bygone, be bygone, and so on and so on. I'ma teach these cats how to live in the ghetto, keeping it retro, expected from the get-go. Lay low, let my mind shine like a halo. For politics with ghetto senators on the D-Lo.
You know, my eyes are sore being a senator. That's a hell of a line from ODB.
It is a good line.
It's good stuff.
Just going for it, all in.
Yeah. Oh, I think you have another clip here that we're going to bring you back with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, which is...
Hey, dirtbag. You're a lousy shot. I don't like lousy shots. You wasted a kid for nothing. Now I think it's time to waste you.
So there was a time when a 12-year-old version of me would run to the local video store to pick up Cobra.
All right.
More than once, more than twice, more than three times, making that run. This is back, you know, born in 75, so you're talking like 86, 87 time frame. So there wasn't a lot.
prime time of movies.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot coming out that was any good. In 10 years, you'd look back on almost the entire arc of the 80s and just kind of cringe. And that's part of what kind of set this in motion for me, was like how there are so many movies that I saw during like the mid-80s that I just thought were great. And and just went back to time and time again.
Like Porky's.
Cannonball Run. But there were like those handful of movies that were just, for me, like watchable.
I just found a Rotten Tomatoes diss of Cobra.
Yeah, please.
The body count is only somewhere in the high 80s, and most of these are simply gunned down with a deplorable lack of invention.
My kind of movie.
Only 80 kills. So it's kind of
it's like goofy action fun, and it gets better every single time I watch it.
It's a light kill count for Stallone in the 80s.
Right? Yeah.
I think Rambo 2 was probably
Rambo
in the 200s.
It's insane. When the helicopter leaves him.
My gosh. It was literally on something the other day. I was watching the Olympics, and it was like commercial, whatever. I was flipping around all the movie channels, and it was playing on like AMC or something. And it was the scene where the Russian has captured him, and they've got him on those bed springs, and they're electrocuting him, and they've got the knife in the grill. If you haven't seen this movie, you're really missing out. And they literally take his gigantic survival knife with a glowing tip because it's been sitting in these hot coals and put it right to his eye and then do nothing with it, basically. But
Burn a couple eyelashes.
Rambo 2 is also on that list. Commando, Arnold Schwarzenegger, 85-ish time frame would have been prime for me.
Schwarzenegger had like... was just killing it in the 80s. T2 was a huge one for Judgment Day.
Obviously. Of course. And then there are things that's like that that are like, okay, that's good.
T2 is great.
It holds up. And Terminator is still pretty great.
But then there's
Commando.
Conan.
Beastmasters.
There's so many good movies.
American Ninja. Gymkhata. If you're not familiar.
Iron Eagle? Is that
Iron Eagle. Yeah. Oh, my God. I almost put that on the list. Nice. Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah. So basically, this is, if you had TBS or TNT or whatever.
Or USA.
Or USA.
This is like how boys
were
groomed
in the
80s into men.
In the early 90s. It really is.
It's like, what patriarchy? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Gender is a real thing.
If you don't think politics affects, you know, how cinema gets made in America, I mean, just go back to the 80s and everything is like, we got to stop the Russians. Who can stop the Russians? And it's some version of Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester
or Stallone fucking up Dolph Lundgren, the Russian.
Exactly.
The
Russian. Rocky IV. Come on, man.
Rocky IV, is that the best?
So here's a quick Rocky IV story. I was old enough to see this at the theater, I saw it multiple times at the theater. Because
I probably would have as well.
Yeah, well, I was 10 years old, so it's like prime for me. And this is like prime Reagan era, you know, patriotism. These crazy Ruskies might shoot nukes our way any minute. So it was all in the air. And then you go see this movie. I went and saw this. I came out of the theater, and I went for a run. Because I was so pumped up, 10 years old. I'm like, I'm going running. And I was a good athlete even as a young kid, but I went and ran what I can only assume...
to the top of a mountain.
would be the equivalent to the top of a mountain. So much so that even at 10 years old, the next day when I woke up, my legs were so stiff and sore that I was crying. Whoa. And couldn't get out of bed. Like, took a good half hour to get out of the bed and just moped around all day because I thought I was Rocky and training like Rocky.
Oh, yeah, but then you eventually, like, jump out of helicopters and become pretty much Rambo.
Well, yeah, I'd say if you don't think those movies affect your life in some way.
I mean. Well, here's, like, the shift of movies. So I obviously wasn't going to be a Rambo at any point, so I didn't run up any mountains. Like, my parents kind of just, like, shifted me towards, like, the goofy, like, Pauly Shore movies.
See, Encino Man, son.
Or I was saying, like, Kurt Russell, like, Captain Ron, and Overboard. Yeah. Like,
what were you saying? Captain Ron, like, this is what, 1990 or something? 89, 90, 91?
That's early 90s.
Had, like, a $24 million dollar budget.
Yeah. They wasted $24 million on Captain Ron.
And it rocked in about 20.
20, yeah, 22, 22. I think.
Awesome.
Oh, great.
Money
stuff.
Well spent.
Yeah.
Oh,
$24 million.
The fact that it made 22 is just testament to the stardom of Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
That movie had nothing to offer at all.
So that was one that was always on TV when I was a kid. Cannonball Run.
The Pauly Shore movies were for sure, like, as soon as they would go to video, like, Encino shortly thereafter, it would be like the USA, TNT, TBS loop of just Pauly Shore, whatever the most recent, you know, In the Army Now would be a later one, but, like, what was
that? Was a later one. Early one would be Son-in-Law.
Son-in-Law, that's what I was trying to think of, yeah.
Pre-Biodome, Pauly Shore is a good stuff.
Biodome is hard to watch.
It's so bad. Van Damme, early Van Damme were huge for me.
Huge for me. I mean, I probably saw Cyborg 20 times.
Cyborg,
and I don't even know if you can, like, Cyborg is truly, like, one of those things, like, it's hard to find now.
It is
hard to find.
I think we were looking it up for distribution, and it was, like, for some dumb reason, way too expensive. Like, it's more expensive to show than Citizen Kane. Not a joke.
Hey.
I think it's probably MGM or something.
Orson Welles couldn't do splits like that, though.
What did you guys think of Face Off when it came out?
Face Off.
One's always been good.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since I was a kid.
Still good.
That's
good news.
It was the last, I'll say this about Face Off, it was the last movie I ever saw at a drive-in.
Ooh.
Wow.
Like at a real, no kidding, drive-in out in the middle of nowhere and saw Face Off. Was it 95? 96?
I've never been to a drive-in.
Oh, man.
Shut up. You've never been to a drive-in?
Shut up. I haven't. God.
I'm out of here.
That's the show.
My drive-in was like halfway a swap meet on the weekend.
Okay,
so it was
sure.
Like a swap
a lot
meet
of that was.
And a drive-in.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had
the swap meet flea market drive-in.
I
could
see a lot of good movies.
Yeah, I did too.
Ninja Turtles 1 and 2.
Oh, damn.
I just have early memories of going as a kid. This would have been like very early 80s, maybe even like 79 in some cases, and seeing stuff like, you know, it was always double features, right?
Yeah, it's always
and
double.
So it was usually something a little more, they didn't really err on the side. Like now you'll go see it, it'll be a Marvel movie and then kind of a scarier movie or something at existing drive-ins now. Which are still out there, Dave. You should check them out.
There's
one in Maryland.
There's one in Maryland? All right.
Small state of Maryland.
Speaking of movies from when I was a kid, like, I saw Rush Hour in the drive-thru, and I never realized until recently just how kind of racist that movie is.
At a drive-in.
I'm sorry. Drive-thru. I saw it in the back of a cab through a drive-thru. Yeah.
Is it racist?
I haven't seen it
since it came out.
Yeah, but it's so funny.
It's very funny.
No,
yeah, it's okay because it's funny.
I haven't seen Rush Hour in a while, actually.
We did show it.
I loved Rush Hour.
Yeah. It's just like doing this
doing Sons has been interesting, to go back and watch movies that were great when you were a kid, and then you realize maybe they don't hold up for...
Yeah. All John Hughes movies.
All John Hughes movies. Yeah. I think we've
all
talked about
80s
this
movies in general pretty yeah. much well, are going to be completely insensitive. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point, I think we're going to like dissect that and do a month of the Reagan years kind of...
That would be fun.
Kind of really address it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a good one. Reagan era. Yeah, no, I think there's...
1980 to 1988, Pearl? No? Anyway.
And then, not that my childhood was entirely, composed of horrible Stallone and Schwarzenegger films, but I actually had a couple of very strange experiences early on in childhood where I saw movies that were way, way, way too adult for like a six-year-old to go see, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. And we had, you know, this is like almost just at cable or even pre-cable, you know, 1980, 81, 82. I'm 6, 7 years old. And my dad used to travel for work. So, you'd have to like stay off the phone. If my dad called, like everything stopped because my mom would go answer the phone. Well, this happened one night right as we're about to see what the movie is for the evening, you know, on Channel 11 or whatever. And it was The Exorcist. My first cool. exposure to The Exorcist was Jeez. Literally sitting by myself for like the first 45 minutes while my mom was talking to my dad, who was in like Montana, and watching The Exorcist by myself. So
just clutching a Bible.
It changes you fundamentally for the rest of your life when you see something like that at that young of an age.
I forget who was telling me recently about their parents, like, having them watch Clockwork Orange when they were, like, really little.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, God.
Cool. They're like those cool parents who, like, give me your keys and you can have a beer.
Right. So I'd rather have them smoke weed at home.
Yeah.
And do it out on the street corners.
And watch Ultraviolence on TV at home, like, mod Ultraviolence.
Is there anything like that where you guys watched something you were just not prepared for at a young age?
Well, probably blocked it out at this point.
Yeah,
I think
watched Dark Crystal and Dirty Dancing on like repeat. Watched those movies so many times.
I watched a lot of those James Bond movies over and over again because they were on TBS.
Just letting them, yeah, because they do the marathons, right?
For like a whole month or whatever. And yeah. Just like every night I'd just be sitting there watching them.
Watching Octopussy.
Yeah.
I wasn't that young, but American History X kind of fucked me up.
Well,
how old were you when you saw it?
Yeah.
11 maybe? 12?
Yeah, that would mess you up.
Yes. Watched it with my mom. Swear to you. Watching it, she was like, okay, I'm going to try to get into what my son's into. She was horrified. She just couldn't look at me. I don't think we looked at each other for like 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. No, my mom still laughs contact. About the Exorcist thing. She thought, you know, and now she thinks it's hilarious, but yeah.
When I started getting into like indie movies, it was like, I think Being John Malkovich, the guy at the video store... Notice he was like a cool
he was a hipster
influence on me. Yeah, he totally was. I remember I really liked Fight Club, and he's like, you know what, here, watch Magnolia. He's like, Fight Club was my second favorite of the year, but watch Magnolia. It was actually my first.
Totally see this
guy. I was
guy.
Like, all right, this is pretty cool.
I can see this guy.
But
blue blockbuster shirt.
Yeah, totally, but kind of into cool stuff.
Got some cool pin.
Yeah,
to signify that he's a cool guy.
You know. Got my Lolita pin. But yeah. I watched Being John Malkovich, and ever since then, any creative bullshit artsy movie, my mom was like, is this one of those Being John Malkovich movies?
Perfect.
Like, yeah.
I think I watched Being John Malkovich with my mom, actually.
Oh, wow.
I remember both of us just laughing at the 8.5 floor thing at the beginning.
I just thought that was the most like, hilarious thing. I'm in love with Catherine Keener, so it doesn't. I'll watch her in anything.
This one's sort of not in the same realm, but I tried to rewatch Space Jam. It's really bad.
Yeah, no, well, that's exactly the kind of thing. Like, when you're a kid, you love it.
It's bad. I mean, it means so much to me. I can never really denounce it fully, but it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
Lola Bunny. Okay, well, here's
the
trick.
Fun when we showed it at Sons, because the soundtrack's all loud and bumpy.
Yeah.
And,
like, that's a good movie to watch in a big
getting
group.
Drunk.
And Bill Murray is actually good in it in the few scenes he's in, and then when he comes in as the ringer at the end. Also... I watched it on Ambien last time because for a while I would just watch movies that I thought had a clever before and after with Ambien, and we did Space Jambien. and you just try to stay awake watching a movie, and that's the best one on Ambien of anything I've watched. I stayed up for the whole movie, not knowing anything except for my inner psyche. It was great.
I can't stay up for anything on Ambien. I don't care what you were putting up. I mean,
that's so surprising.
Like, here's a movie of your life. If I take Ambien, I am out.
What were some of the other movies on the list?
Silence of the Lambien.
Oh yeah,
I wish I would have come. I have more of these. I'll find them. They're all on like
Science of Sleep on Ambien. That'll be fucked up.
I love it. I think that's about
that's
it.
That's one of those guys. Being John Malkovich.
Did you do like a John Van Dambien series?
Ooh.
Jean-Claude Van Dambien. That's a good. Well, all right. <That's> for next time.
Perfect place.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.